You're listening to Rambling Business, the only multimedia podcast with Rick and Brandon,
where we get into your business no matter where it is.
And today we'll be talking about how to move your livelihood from Beverly Hills to paradise. We finish our Sedona series by looking at a family that did the opposite of the Beverly Hillbillies by moving from Beverly Hills to the outback of West Sedona, Arizona.
But I liked Jed Clampett.
They didn't live. They lived in Texas, right?
You know, they didn't really ever said, but I think it was probably like Tennessee.
Yeah, I remember them saying Texas tea.
You're right. Maybe it was tea. Yeah, but it didn't look like Texas though.
No,
it looked like Kentucky or something.
Yep, that looked like old school Appalachia. But anyway, they leave Beverly Hills this time and go to West Sedona, Arizona, which is a different sort of trip.
Yes.
But learn what this family did to create a legacy of serving others, which has lasted to the next generation. Of course, coming your way soon are tax tales and travel tips, so stay tuned.
So you know your mom and I like to hit unique places, you know, and especially restaurants when we're traveling. Marius Damian Daher talked to me about the Coffee Pot restaurant in Sedona, Arizona, and how his father and mother made an impact on the whole area. We actually found this place. It was pretty cool. Damien's father, Emil, had a beauty salon in Beverly Hills with his wife, Patricia.
Okay.
Now, you know, Beverly Hills, beauty salon, you know, you think of like Grandma Chester.
Yeah.
Or, you know, her hairdresser, Chester.
Very glitzy place.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's like, okay, you're at what many hairdressers in the world want to go to. But he just got worn out by the glamour scene. He just got sick of it. You know, there was demanding customers and the fast-paced scenes. He just had to get out of there, which I've never heard Chester ever say that to your grandmother.
No, but Chester loves it.
Yeah, that's right. He loves it. And he buys great clothes.
He does.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Anyway, in the 1990s, they found a peaceful place in Sedona. It was really beautiful in Sedona, and they had other family members who lived there, and you know, they kind of did their homework and they learned about the area. They knew about the culture there, and so they decided to buy the Coffee Pot restaurant. And this is one of the things that brought your mom to the door. They advertised they have 101 omelets.
That's a whole lot of omelets. Do they keep them all at the same time?
Yeah, they cook them all. They have 101 frying pans. And so it's amazing. And now I was thinking about this.
We're talking about different ingredients.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking about pizzas. Okay. Now, you know, I made pizzas when I was a teenager at our family's Italian restaurant. If we had 101 pizzas, I don't think my grandfather would have had me around there for about 3 minutes. There's no way I would have gotten that straight.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody says, okay, we'll take a pepperoni. Okay, that's one kind.
Yeah.
Okay, we could add mushrooms and onions. Okay, I can't get that right. I mean, I only got about 8 ingredients. That's all I got, you know.
Well, it would be 8. Oh, gosh, I don't remember the math.
Factorial, 8 times 7 factorial. Times 6 times 5. But that's only if you have different orders, though.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so that doesn't work. So we have to figure that out. Stay down. We'll be back. No.
Yeah. We'll be back. Stay a second. We're gonna get out our green visors and our adding machines and figure this out.
But I could imagine I would never be able to handle that. You know, like, I mean, even 10, you know, or 20 or 30 different things, I never would have been able to handle that. It's just crazy.
Yeah, unless it's like a mushroom omelet, a mushroom and tomato omelet.
Yeah,
a mushroom, tomato and cheese omelet.
Yeah, yes. I could do that. Yeah, yeah. That's okay. So anyway, his dad did more to this restaurant than just take over a restaurant. He actually improved it. He improved the soup quality and other recipes. And so they kind of get this building going, you know, the family moves there, you know, like the opposite of the Beverly Hillbillies, moving from Beverly Hills to out in the middle of nowhere. And so they end up moving twice, actually, the business to different buildings. And they wound up in the current building that we went to, which was really interesting. I walked in and I looked around and went, this is not an ordinary business. There's something interesting about this. And I found out why. I was talking to Damien, and basically, it used to be a nightclub and was owned by the actress Jane Russell.
So even though he got away from Beverly Hills,
that's
he's
right.
Still got
he's still there. That's
stuck right back in.
Right back in. You never know. And so, you know, when she had that restaurant, other entertainers and people would come in there and always look to eat at her restaurant. Because, you know, people were driving out to Arizona and Sedona back, way back, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was really cool. But this was a nightclub and he had to turn it into a restaurant. So he had to do certain things. They reduced the size of the bar, but he did keep a little bar.
Yeah.
It still did. I noticed that. And I saw the gift shop. They made the half the bar into a gift shop, or a part of it anyway.
That makes more sense.
Into the gift shop.
Not a lot of people want to drink with their omelets.
Right.
But not judging if you do. We all love a good Bloody Mary.
Oh, come on. Let's judge. Let's pretend we're in the 1930s.
Is that why people drove out to Sedona?
Right, 1930s, right. And also, I noticed on the left, and I didn't know what it was until he told me, was a stage. The stage is still there.
Oh, for like the musical
yeah,
acts.
Yeah, right, right. Everybody did vaudeville, you know, or something like that. Yep. Who knows? You know? And then the seating was kind of like a stadium seating in nightclubs. So you had like all these smaller tables all in circles. So it's like you're like in a nightclub and you're watching people.
Mm-hmm.
They kept it the same way.
That's fun.
Yeah, so it was really cool on how they kept the history in this thing and turned it into an omelet place. So his dad, though, was special. A lot like my grandfather, where, you know, my grandfather used to always say, you have to talk to the people. You have to connect with the people. His dad had a personality. They always meet people, talk to people, and they liked them a lot.
That's the thing with small business. I mean,
yeah.
People have a lot of other options.
Yeah.
You know, and if you go to a big chain type of place, usually there's not that,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Ownership
yeah.
Of the idea.
Yeah. Well, his dad also was a giving person. And so this kind of propelled the business because he liked to give things to people. He cared for other people. He did not believe in nickel and diming them. Mm-hmm. And he always found ways to give back to the community. And so this restaurant became this great hub in West Sedona. And, you know, we found it because we were actually referred to it by this mega lodge hotel thing. You know, they told us about that, and we said, oh yeah, we saw that driving up. And so we stopped in there, and of course we had to put our name in because there was a line of people
mm-hmm.
to get in. But it was really good. We really had a great time going there.
If you want to learn more about the restaurant, you can find out more at www.coffeepotsedona.com. You're listening to Rambling Business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Rick E. Norris and Accountancy Corporation. If you'd like to get the full experience, check out our website for videos, music, pictures, takeaways, and travel tips. www.ramblingbusiness.com. Now it's time for our tax tales, where we tell you about strange and unusual taxes from the past to the present.
Tax tales, tax tales, tax tales, tax tales, tax tales.
Tax tales. Woo.
And today, since we are talked a little bit about nickel and diming people, in France, a man had won some sort of money, whether it was through gambling or through a lottery. It was not exactly clear. But he got a bill from the government for taxes on the winnings, which amounted to about 3.5 million francs, a currency that no longer exists.
Chocolat bleu.
That's a lot. That's not exactly right.
I don't even know what that means.
It's sacre bleu, and I didn't even take French.
Yeah, but you went to France with class.
You know what it means?
No.
Sacred blue.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't really make much sense as a swear. I don't really get
it. But you know what? I think like when we go to one of our rooms in our homes and it's painted blue, people mm-hmm. are going to say, what color is that?
You just say?
Sacre bleu.
Okay, we'll work on it. Anyway, this guy got the tax bill for his winnings, and he showed up to the tax authorities with three trucks filled to the brim with 1 franc coins.
Oh, my.
Which is essentially like a penny.
There goes my back.
I know. The 3.5 million coins amounted to more than 20 tons.
Wow.
And that's a tactic that a lot of people have done when they don't like to pay their taxes. Now it's time for a travel tip where we tell you what cool things you can do around the Sedona area.
When in Sedona, check out the Slide Rock State Park, which is in Oak Creek Canyon just outside the city on Highway 89A. Now, there are hazards just by the name Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're slippery rocks.
What, Highway 89A?
Yeah, 89A, that's right. It's a very popular destination. Make sure you get there early because parking is terrible. They had cars parked up on the side on both sides of, of Highway 89A.
On the sliding rocks.
On the sliding rocks, that's right.
Bad idea.
And some other tips is that when you go onto the creek bed there, which is all rocks, you slide down, but you don't wear flip-flops because they will come off your feet. So, you know, I mean, we know this because, you know, we grew up in California. We've been to lots of mountain stuff and creeks. We always wore water shoes. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing there. Wear your water shoes. They have tread on the bottom and you're not going to lose them. Maybe you'll get some sand in them, but that's about it. And so make sure you do that. There's also, what's very interesting, there's some whole homestead cabins for viewing, because originally it was an apple orchard.
So someone went there and claimed the land and did that.
Way back, and they have a whole history on that, so it's cool.
I wonder if they were doing the old Johnny Appleseed scam. You know about that?
No, I don't know about that.
Johnny Appleseed, a big homesteading is where you would go settle land and mm-hmm. eventually after 10 years or so, I don't know the exact number, mm-hmm. you would own it. Mm-hmm. And so the government would try to determine that you would own it by looking at your fruit trees because uh-huh. they take a certain amount mm-hmm. of time to mature. Mm-hmm. So Johnny Appleseed goes out in the middle of the forest, cuts down trees, plants apple seeds, and mm-hmm. by the time that the settlers get there, he can sell them these full-grown apple trees so they can tell the government they've been here for 10 years.
Amazing. And he becomes historical.
And they
legend.
They weren't even eating those apples. They were making them into cider and getting a little drunk on it.
In <That's>, celebration.
Exactly. Free house. Now it's time for our takeaways, where we tell you what things you can do to implement what we've been talking about on the podcast. The first thing to think about is, if you don't like what you do for a living, leave it. Just like Emil did when he got burned out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of people, when they get to retirement, will look back on their life and be like, I did something I hated for 50 years.
You know what I think he hates?
What?
Hairspray.
Hey, wouldn't have to worry about that anymore. No one
right.
uses it.
The next thing is, test the waters before jumping in. Emil and Patricia had family in Sedona. So they were familiar with the community, and it wasn't just like Jed Clampett, mm-hmm. you know, leave from whatever he was to Beverly Hills, not really knowing anybody, and had to rely on Mr. Drysdale.
The third thing to think about is you have to do your research when you're buying a business, too, not just the place where you're moving. Use professionals like accountants and lawyers to talk you through, especially if you're moving across state lines, mm-hmm. the new laws and the new business applications you'll
need. And people hire us for that a lot when they're buying a business mm-hmm. to look at things. And one of my favorite stories was a guy who owned a restaurant and he was hiding money from the government. So he had a loss on his tax returns every year. Mm-hmm. And so we had the meeting, and actually it was a son of a famous entertainment industry person was going to buy it. The father was going to buy it for the son. And the guy said, well, I've just been hiding money. And I said, well, how do we know that? How do we know this is just not a bad business? Because you're not telling the government
yeah.
what you're making.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that was one of the things that we did. They didn't buy the business because the guy couldn't verify how much money he was making.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily want to trust a guy who just said that he
cheats the government.
Cheats
yeah.
the government.
Right, right.
Could be some other problems there. The next thing to think about is, if it ain't broke, you're not looking hard enough. Emil and Patricia saw a healthy business with 101 omelets, but then improved the recipes because,
right.
you know,
yeah.
just going in and doing the same thing is not necessarily going to build the community
support. That's right. He had a lot more patience than my grandfather would have had with me as a pizza maker.
Oh, most definitely.
And number five, the last, is don't be cheap with your customers or community. Be a part of it and then become one of the hubs so that people can look to you as being the source of energy and life for the community.
Now it's time to answer an email from one of our listeners. Terry writes a question. I'm moving and I want to know if my auto insurance covers my moving truck rental.
Well, Terry, I got to tell you, I had to check this one out with Deborah DeStephen, our insurance agent, because I get that question, you know, when I look, you know, I go to a car rental, I go to a truck rental.
Yeah.
And what she says that
company's moving.
Yeah, company's moving. And I said, She told me, if you're renting a car, that's okay. You know, your car insurance will cover that, or at least most of them, I guess. You probably should check with your insurance agent to make sure. But in our case, anyway, it would cover it. But with a truck rental, like U-Haul and Ryder, you're renting a different kind of vehicle, and it does not cover you. And some people have actually caused major damage and have gotten sued because they had no insurance and they didn't know it.
I think that I didn't get in an accident, but this is the first time hearing of it. Lucked out.
That's right. I forgot to tell you.
Don't be like me and possibly maybe ruin your life in the future.
That's right.
Oh, geez. I've rented so many trucks. I'm having a heart attack right now. That's all we have for this week. Tune in next week when we're going to move our series to a very specific place and a very specific time,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to be business during the eclipse in Oregon.
Wow. You're going to love it.
Yeah. Just don't look directly at it without those special glasses.
No, we don't.
Hurt your eyes.
That's right. Especially the glass one I have.
Yeah. And until then, I'm Brandon.
This is Rick, and thank you for letting us get into your business no matter where it is. Our music and podcast was produced by my son, Devin S. Norris. For all your music, composition, and podcast needs, check out devinsnorris.com.